says, in like manner, the women should be modest in apparel with propriety, moderation, not with braided hair, gold, pearls, costly clothing. Verse 10, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Verse 11, let women learn in silence with all submission. And then verse 12, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. And your question is, first and foremost, does that mean in the home? And am I supposed to be silent in the home? And I mean, the answer is, like, if you're going to get legalistic about this, no, like, it isn't commanding women don't talk ever. It isn't saying that you aren't allowed to use your voice. You shouldn't have a, in fact, in another section, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 14. I think it's 14. One of the other places where it talks about a woman being silent, it says, instead, ask your husband at home. Like, so the whole point of all of this conversation is about your role in public. It really is, as these texts go, is not about your role in the home. Does that mean that you should be like a loudmouth, you know, rude, crass person in the house? No, right? So don't be silly. But what is the context? The context here is in public life. Now, some will say that 1 Timothy chapter 2 is all about life in church. In fact, here it even says here in your King James, men and women in the church. But I'm not so sure that this is necessarily about worship only. I think this does have to do with a reflection of our orders in the public world, so that men are to be the ones who lift their hands, and they should do so preferably in prayer as opposed to in wrath, right? So the idea here is, what are you doing with your hands? Are you doing good things or evil things? Men should lift their hands in good things. Women also then are to adorn themselves with good works. Paul says that another place, so that moderation is part of your good work, right? And not looking about your status, not thinking about how you look is part of your good work. What is you profess as a godly person? Here it is in verse 10, with good works. So this entire section here is exhorting men and women to try to be dutiful, upstanding people in the world. And then in that regard, the woman is not to be the leader of the family in the public square, right? And that's really the idea here. So if you're in a voters meeting and the woman does all the talking and the man sits there silently, who's the leader of the house? And in that regard, then authority has been usurped and one's pushing oneself forward as a teacher. And the one who should be there as the teacher is not acting as the teacher, right? So I do not think, personally, that verse 12, I do not permit a woman to teach, have authority over a man, but to be in silence, is necessarily about the pastoral office, although it would apply to the pastoral office since it's just about life in general, that women are not, in general, to be the rulers of men. And in that regard, when they are going to learn, they let and are under the man who is their teacher, or they are behind him. So think of representative government as a good way of imagining this, right? So we live in an age where representative government means everybody gets a voice, which is kind of the opposite of representative government. Like, the point of representative government is that somebody speaks for you. Like, you choose someone to speak for you. And so God built the family as representative government, where the father speaks for the family. And so, you know, the common fear of not having women vote in a congregation would be then they won't have a voice. And it's like as soon as you say that, you don't believe in marriage. The person who says the woman doesn't have a voice doesn't believe in marriage, doesn't believe that they're going to go home and they're going to talk and the man's going to actually represent the interests of his wife, the interests of his daughters as much or better than they will represent themselves, because that's according to the order and the design that God made, right? So how much silence is silence? In general, that would mean then that when there's time for debate in public, that if you have a husband, let him be the one who leads. That's the general idea. Follow the husband. If you don't have a husband, do you have a father? You know, or if you're a widow, why does the New Testament take particular care of widows? It's because they don't have a head. They don't have someone to represent them. So they have to be represented by the pastor himself, in fact. Right? He's the one who's supposed to watch out for all of them. Now, we live in a time now where we've just so rejected this idea that trying to go back to it in some sort of legalistic way is not going to happen. We're not going to force people back into this. Rather, what we want to do is see how propriety and moderation, as Paul says, are like good works. And so if you want to understand what it means to be in silence, it means to exercise yourself with propriety and moderation. Yeah? It doesn't mean don't sing. It doesn't mean don't confess the creed with the congregation, right? If you're going to go all legalistic on silence, well, that means they can't make any noise. Well, that's not what he's saying, okay? He's talking about being people of propriety, yeah? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is going to say similar things And it's in this section shortly after he talks about love. You know, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, all that. He talks about love. And then in chapter 14, he does talk about order in church, and he's dealing with these prophets, or claiming to be prophets, people who are speaking out and causing a disarray in the congregation, maybe even babbling with tongues that nobody knows, as if it's the gift of tongues given at Pentecost, which it may or may not have been. In this particular instance, kind of sounds like the author of confusion more than the author of order from what he's dealing with. So verse 32, he says, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That is, don't have multiple people preach at the exact same time. And don't let them interrupt each other. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And then verse 34, let your women keep silent in the churches. Now, what does that mean? In the narthex, he's not talking about buildings. He's talking about when you get together. Now we're in worship for sure. When you get together, when you assemble, when you congregate for the sake of the word of God and for the sake of your order together, your women should, if they understand their order and their role, let the men figure it out. And if they have a problem, talk about it at home, trusting their man to deal with it. For, he says, they are not permitted to speak. They are to be submissive, as the law also says. And he's referring to kind of Old Testament thinking, the old ways. Yeah. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in the congregation. All right. So what about Bible study? You know, what about Bible study when you have a group of 30 people gathered together and someone says, well, I have a question about this. I have a question about that. Is it therefore sinful for a woman to ask that question? I think when we go that route, we're missing the wisdom of this, right? So if you have a group of 7 to 30 people gathered together to read the Bible together, and all of us are used to knowing each other and talking to each other because that's who we are as a culture, right? Then indeed, it's not a problem if Grandma Schmidt's like, so this verse here, I've wondered about this, and can you tell me about that, please? Like, it's not saying don't do that. But again, when you gather in the public assembly in a real official capacity, and you're especially if you're going to have a debate or a fight about something, yeah, the women should really just not be involved in that. They just need to sit back, let the men figure it out. There's some just common wisdom in this. The women are going to take it personally. They are. And the men, they might, because we're really feminized men these days, but they didn't used to. They used to just kind of like bark and bark and bark and then go on and it's whatever, you know. And so there's a way in which men are kind of built to deal with that conflict in a way that women aren't. And so I can also see how, I mean, if you had a Bible study of 300 people in one room, then yeah, Grandma Schmidt maybe should let the men who are, and the men's hands are going up and they're asking questions, like, no, don't impose on them. You know, you ask your husband at home, let the men ask the questions. So part of this is about scale. And I should say that this is maybe a good way to answer this. What is the silence? It's about scale. Propriety is about scale. It's about recognizing the context that you're in and not trying to be something you're not, right? He is not forbidding that the woman learn. He is not forbidding that the woman have conversations with people that would engage communication and exchange. He's not even forbidden that a woman would teach a man, because Priscilla and Aquila got together with Apollos, and together, they instructed Apollos on some of the things he should know. Did Priscilla go by herself to do this? No, she didn't, right? So you see the propriety there, right? She didn't take it on herself. And of course, the liberals will only bring up, well, what about Deborah? Well, Deborah's an interesting situation where all the men were too girly to actually do anything. And Barak, the guy she talks to, is a good example of this, that she tells him, God says, you're the man, you go do this. And he's only if you come with me. And then his glory is given to Jael, a woman, because he will not stand up and be the man like he's supposed to be. So there, you know, the text really implies that Deborah is a judge because all the men are too unfaithful to be a judge. So it's not like she's an example of how we're supposed to be. However, like I said before, like if no man will stand up and say that it's wrong, and you're watching all the men do great evil, like Paul is not saying don't stand up and tell the truth. Right? The more we get caught in a tit for tat, line upon line, precept upon precept approach to the law, the worse it's going to be for us in our conscience and in our actual results. The more we can understand that the spirit of the law, not the letter, but the spirit of the law is good, the better off we're going to be. What's Paul getting at? God created order. Man and woman are in order. Husband and wife are the first order of that, and that we should embrace that in such a way that we publicly show that as much as possible. That's the point. That's the point. So the woman doesn't override or speak for her husband in the public square. Rather, it's the other way around. And then maybe they sing in harmony when the hymns are going on.